My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey, hey! All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the traveling Gold Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, live from Jets Camp. We had Tyler Conklin, CJ Mosley, Aaron Rodgers, and Rob Sala on. You can go back on the free Odyssey app and check all of that out. You can use the podcast feature or the rewind feature. Rob Sala was on right at the top of 8 o'clock. Aaron Rodgers is on at 7:30. So really good stuff from those guys. I thought the most interesting thing from Rob Sala, and I was happy to hear this because I've been very critical of the way he has been a head coach since the beginning, is that he has recognized, whether it's his own doing or someone telling him, and either way is fine, as long as you realize it and understand it's an issue, that he's had problems with messaging, not only to his team, but through the media to the fan base. And I know that it doesn't seem to matter to a lot of fans how his press conferences go, and that's not why you win and lose games, but he recognized that the messaging that he was using to the team last year was not working. And when he tried even harder and harder, he said it got worse and worse. And it sort of culminated in that whole Joe Beningo text message fiasco, as he brought up. So, you know, I think that another thing that bothered me during that time with the Joe Beningo thing, and I think I said it at the time, was, you know, here he is talking about all the coaches that had quarterback problems and they're losing records and showing that, making an excuse for himself. I would want my head coach to find the guys that were put in a tough situation with the quarterback and then overcame it and won. That's the thing that I want to see. I want him in his office looking up those things.
There we go. Yeah. You have to understand something, that everybody knows that it's a quarterback-driven league.
Right.
Everybody knows that Andy Reid is the luckiest coach in the league because he's got the best player playing that position, much like Bill Belichick had with Tom Brady. And unfortunately for Rob Sala, since he's gotten here, he started with a rookie who was in way over his head. Then they bring in a Hall of Fame quarterback in waiting, and he blows out his Achilles. So it hasn't gone very swimmingly at that position for him. So every coach that I've ever been around in the NFL always talks about who their quarterback is and what their quarterback situation is like. Is it stable? Is it somebody that's going to be there for 10 years? You know, Zach Taylor's lucky. He's got Joe Burrow. Bill Cowher basically drafted Ben Roethlisberger and turned out to be the perfect pairing for the perfect quarterback. And when I think about, like, Mike McDaniel down there with Tua Tagovailoa, there couldn't have been a better coach for Tua to ascend to the player that he has become. You know, and I just think that, you know, Rob, unfortunately for him, it's been nothing but constant movement, constant changes, guys getting hurt at the most important position. That's why I was saying to him this year, they have to win. They all know they have to win. They can't go through another losing season. And that's why he is trying to protect Aaron Rodgers at all costs here during preseason, because he doesn't want him to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he did admit like some of it was just fear of last year and thinking about that stuff, and why take a risk in a joint practice if you don't have to because of the conditions. So, you know, I don't blame him for that, but there is going to come a time where there's no protecting him.
But eventually it will come when they go out to San Francisco. But every coach knows that if their quarterback situation is stable, their chances of winning go up significantly. If you are, let's say you're the Raiders right now, and you have Aiden O'Connell and you have Gardner Minshew, you may win some games, but guess what? You are not beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, yeah.
Out of that division,
right?
With those quarterbacks.
Well, someone's got to stink in the league, right? Unless
you know Patrick Mahomes gets hurt or something.
Yeah.
But you can't. You have one of the worst quarterback rooms in the league. Not to say that those guys can't play. They can, but they're not the guy that we just had up here, Aaron Rodgers. They're not the top end quarterbacks in the league. So you know that team is basically rebuilding is what they're doing. And maybe Aiden O'Connell's going to take another step, and maybe he'll turn out to be the next Brock Purdy. Who knows? But the fact still remains that your quarterback is the one that will determine how far you're going to go in the NFL playoffs.
Sure. And I know that. I think everybody knows that. I don't like...
But that's why a coach uses that.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
And
I...
that speak he did to Joe. See, Joe violated that.
Yeah, I know.
Joe violated the privacy that he had with the coach of the Jets.
But don't you think that Rob was texting in that, hoping that Joe would bring it up anytime he had a microphone in front of his face and make it sound
I'm
like
sure,
it was his
I'm
own
sure.
opinion
yes,
and not
I'm
coming
sure.
from Rob Saleh?
I'm sure he had so he that was,
right.
mindset. And I think a lot of coaches do that.
Do-do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do that with, like, the Adam Schefters of the world. You know, the guys that are the insiders, they all have relationships. The agents have relationships with the insiders. You know, they all talk kind of the same language to each other, especially when a team is in trouble, when a team is losing. And it was like Brian Daboll just basically going off on Daniel Jones with Joe Buck. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
That's the same mindset that Rob Saleh had with Joe Beningo.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I just sometimes think that it makes a guy look bad when he's looking around trying to make excuses for himself. That's what I don't like.
But it
might be the nature of the league. I just don't like it.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
You know, I think a guy like Andy Reid probably doesn't do it nearly as much simply because he's had so much success and he's won the Super Bowls and he's been a winning coach with three different quarterbacks, and all three quarterbacks were very good in their own right. Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, and now he's got the best ever. At least now, the best ever
yeah.
in the league.
Right. I mean, he's proven himself time and time again. Even before he won a Super Bowl, nobody was really saying much about Andy Reid. They were rooting for him to win a Super Bowl.
Everybody liked Andy Reid. Everybody respected Andy Reid. Everybody thought and knew that he was a good coach, you know, and he was a good coach under Mike Holmgren, and he ended up becoming the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and knew right away that Donovan McNabb could be a great player for him.
Yeah, right, of course.
And turned him into a great player.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I just, this year, every year we come here, I think there's a thought in my head that, oh, it feels different than it did last year. Oh, it feels different. It feels different. Even Zach Wilson, that second year when he came back, like, man, you know, he looks better. Look, he put on some muscle. Everything's going to be better. So you never know. I mean, you could sit here and make determinations about how things are different. You have no idea. But I will say, with that all being said, that there were two things that last year may end up being the best thing that happened to this team for this year.
The Aaron Rodgers injury.
Because if they... No, well, just the darkness and how bad it was. And just like... It's almost like I was watching on the way home on the plane a documentary on Hawaiian volcanoes and how they just destroy certain areas. But from that destruction, you get some of the most fertile plants that come from the ground. And that's how it starts. So from destruction comes just amazing, fertile...
Opportunity.
Shrubbery.
Opportunity.
That you wouldn't get if there wasn't destruction.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So, like, if they had gone 8-9 or 9-8 last year and then came back this year and was like, oh, you know, we just got to do this, do that, or whatever. I mean, it came down horribly, like rubble. Like, look yourself in the mirror. Yep. What the hell happened? I got to go to Egypt. I got to take the stuff off this, the walls of what's next and stupid slogans. Like, everything changed for them.
Yeah.
So it being so bad last year could turn out to be one of the best things to happen to them for this year. But, I mean, it remains to be seen. It's all about health.
You know, where there's misery, there's opportunity.
Mm.
Where there's destruction, there's opportunity. Let's say we go through a recession. There'll be opportunities out there for financial concerns that will look and try to find, you know, the value plays in their portfolios. Mm-hmm. And they will find them. Believe you me, in 5 years from now, those value plays will turn out to be the best plays that those guys end up making. So that they'll find, and hopefully the Jets will find that, if we're using this as a metaphor, they'll use that darkness and somehow, since 2010, they'll find the light. I don't, you know, they have a good roster. We know it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think also there's like an extra gear that they could reach because of the frustration that they've had. You know, like in a fourth quarter of a game. Like, God, I can't lose another goddamn game.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What did you think of the Aaron Rodgers answer when I asked him about playing golf with Davante Adams?
He was just laughing a little bit, and then that's not going to happen, though. He's not coming here. I mean, they were laughing and having a, you know, the guy smiled and whatever, and had a little look.
Well, little look, little smile.
Yeah, but I don't think it's happening. You still think that's happening?
Maybe.
You mean maybe? Is it a yes or a no?
Maybe Antonio Pierce would love to have Hassan Reddick.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, put those two things together. Maybe. Well, that would be a horrendous deal for the Raiders, wouldn't it?
Well, you may have to throw in a draft choice or something, but it's not. Like, again, you know, when you look at Hassan Reddick's contract, in terms of edge rushers, he is tied for 23rd in terms of his yearly salary coming up this year.
Mm.
The number one guy, of course, is Nick Bosa.
Yes.
And then, you know, Max Crosby's in the top 10. Danielle Hunter, I think, signed a 2-year big contract with Houston. So this is one of the reasons why Hassan Reddick is holding out. He basically says, my numbers are either as good or better than some of these guys that are getting paid a lot more than me. And that's why I want the money. And if you're, again, I go back to the Davante Adams things. He'll never say it publicly. But are you going to sit here and tell me that he is happy playing in Vegas right now after what he was promised originally?
No.
Now, he may love the coach. He may love Antonio Pierce. And he may love the fact that, you know, that they got a bump with him last year as becoming the head coach. But do you think that a Hall of Fame wide receiver, this is a wide receiver in the NFL who are very temperamental, do you think that he wants to play in Vegas under those circumstances where he knows in his heart that they don't have a chance in hell to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course he doesn't, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't, you know.
And they have an out in his contract next year.
At the end of next year. Yeah.
No, at the end of this year.
Oh, end of this year.
The end of this year.
Yeah, I guess if you think about it, the only way you're going to be able to really compete in that division is if you have a great pass rush, right?
Exactly.
So that's another reason to go after Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, but, you know, it makes too much sense, but I'm just saying from the temperamental side of who players are, what they are, competitive juices flowing. You know, Aaron Rodgers talked about that. He talked about winning and expecting to win. You know, Davante Adams is a realist. And watching that wide receiver documentary and listening to him, he's not happy with what's going on out there. But he will never say that because it's not who he is.
Yeah.
He's a quality young man, and he will not openly complain.
So you felt like when you brought that up about playing golf and the whole thing that he was giving you eyes?
You know exactly what I was talking about.
And you think that he's like they're still in there working on it, talking about it.
I don't know, maybe. Who knows? But I just felt like, yeah, you know, maybe. I mean, if you ask him, would he want Davante Adams on the field there with him? Of course he was going to say yes, but, you know, you can't tamper with players and really shouldn't be talking about other players and other teams anyway. But that's what we do here at Sports Talk.
Hassan Reddick for Davante Adams. Man, but that team would sucks so bad offensively.
But they're rebuilding.
Jesus Christ.
I got to believe that that team is rebuilding.
Think about Josh Jacobs isn't there any longer, right?
Look what that New England was willing to give up for Brandon Ayuk. It wasn't that much when you really think about it, but they were going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk, and that's why, you know, the compensation isn't nearly as much as you would think it is, simply because of the contracts that are involved.
I mean, that's almost one of those things that like Mark Davis, our king, would be like, I can't trade away this guy. We are the worst goddamn team in the league.
If he's unhappy, the last thing you want is a disgruntled player, especially one of your best players.
What
is Davante Adams? You know, what is he playing for? I mean, I know what I know.
Playing
I played on
pride.
Listen, I played on bad teams, so I know what it's like to play on a bad team, and it is no fun. And especially when you're getting up there in age, and you want your numbers, and you want to, you know, continue on your Hall of Fame career like Jerry Rice did.
I mean, they have got nobody behind Davante Adams, nobody.
So what does that tell opposing defenses?
They'll tee off on these crap quarterbacks that you have.
Well, tee off and take him out of the game.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be really hard to take him out of the game, but could you imagine?
What is their over-under?
I'm just saying, like, I just imagine a wide receiver duo.
This team stinks.
Much like what the Dolphins have and what the Eagles have.
Yeah.
And I think of Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson on the same team. How great would that be?
All right, so the it's the same as the Giants. It's pathetic. 6.5, that is an under. In that division?
It has to be.
God.
Because I got to believe that the Chargers are going to be better. They're going to be more organized, they're going to be better, and they're going to be tougher.
All right, not to put you on the spot, because it's early on, we still don't know all these rosters, but I'm trying to prove a point here about the Raiders roster.
Yep.
Could you name me a running back or a wide receiver on that team other than Davante
Adams?
Other
than Davante Adams. Hunter Renfro?
He's not there anymore.
He's not there anymore. Oh, let's see. The running back, Josh Jacobs, is not there. He's in Green Bay.
Right.
See, this is a team that's totally in a rebuild mode.
There's one guy, well, maybe two guys. One wide receiver you've heard of, for sure. And the rest of them. Jacoby Myers is there. And he's not even good.
So in 95 with the Jets.
They got Brock Bowers.
95 with the Jets. I've told you this a million times. At the start of training camp, I think we had, and you have to look back at this, but I believe it was four total catches, career catches for the wide receiver group that we started training camp with. And Wayne Corbett was a rookie that year.
Yeah.
And he made the team because the team didn't have anybody. And he earned every ounce of playing time and then ultimately went on to be a really great wide receiver. But we traded for Charles Wilson right before the start of the season. Mm. And Charles Wilson came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Sam Weich was the head coach.
Okay.
And in the huddle, I would have to call Richie's offense, which was like dyslexic. It was backwards. And I had a hard time understanding it. But then I would have to tell Charles Wilson in Sam Weiss's offense the play was.
Jeez.
It's not a modicum for success. You know what I'm saying?
Certainly not. No. Yeah. If they end up trading Davante Adams off of that team, they got nothing.
I think that they have to. I'm telling you.
All right.
And they'd be stupid not to. Because they're not going to pay him next year's salary, which is like, I think, $38 million.
Well, maybe it's a deadline deal then.
They have to trade him. They have to get an asset back or a couple assets back or something back for him. They just do. It's the best way to do business for the Raiders.
And speaking of pricks.
Oh, God, jeez.
Oh, man.
Look at this guy. Man, don't let any meathead around here.
Yeah,
is that Greg Buttle?
Yeah, of course it's Greg Buttle. I could smell him.
You could smell Greg Buttle from here.
From inside, through the glass. Yeah.
Are you allowed to come on our radio show?
I don't think so. Is he?
I love that about
it. All right, so you know what we'll do? We'll take a break because we have to, and you'll be on next. How's that sound?
You see Ups anywhere?
No, I don't think so.
No. Is Ups around anywhere? No, just...
How long?
5 minutes?
What are you?
Yeah, 5 minutes?
Yeah, well, what are you, like a big shot or something? You can't hang around and come on the show with us? All right, so hang on. We got to go to break, and then we'll have you on.
But I just wanted to kind of find out for 2 seconds. So how long is your break?
It'll be like 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Okay, so give me back in two.
All right. Yeah, sure.
See, that's a linebacker. See, this is like a linebacker.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Come that hill, stay on.
All right, Boomer and Geo, live from Jets Camp this morning on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. Saw this man walking around aimlessly. Sort of like Joe Biden in a way.
Kind of that way, yes.
It reminded me of Joe Biden.
Which way do I go?
Actually,
saw somebody grabbing you by an arm. It's Greg Buttle, of course. Former linebacker of the Jets. Somebody's grabbing you by the arm and leading you around, and you're wearing pleated pants. Holy God.
And, of course, part of the Jets radio network.
Let me just say one thing.
Yes.
Pleated pants were stylish at some point. Just remember what you're wearing. Kids. I mean, it's an embarrassment.
I look great.
Man, you know that.
Holy back, that fat boy over here. Look at him, right?
He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he has lost super fat.
That's
really
chasing
fat.
That golf ball off the fairway.
That's exactly right.
Have you ever seen him play?
Of course I have. I'm the one who turned him on to golf.
Yeah. It's an embarrassment.
No, he's not. He's getting better each and every day. Try to be nice, will you, please?
It is an embarrassment. It was very funny. So I think I told the story on the air. So we're at the outing, the Winners Brothers outing at Sabonic, and of course, that last par three was at 17, and
yes.
I got these guys staring at me, Buttle and Courier, and I shank one of the worst shots of the day. It actually goes right at his head. He has to
right at
duck.
Me. I'm going, I know he did that.
I actually didn't. I wish I said I could. And then you found that ball, and then after the whole dinner and everything else, you didn't tell me you found that ball. You just pulled it out of your pocket, and you said, can you sign
this
for
me? That's right, and it's pure proof that he cheats. He hits another ball. If they made a birdie, he would have said, yeah, birdie.
Birdie, of course. But that's what you do at those golf tournaments.
Oh,
so,
yeah, of course.
All right, so listen, this is another year. 2010 was the last time they were in the playoffs. What's your overall feeling about the team and Aaron and Coach Sala and how their defense is going to be? And
I got to tell you something. That's the $140 million question. But here's my impression of it. Last year, I really thought, boy, if Aaron Rodgers is there, they will make the playoffs because their defense is capable, very capable. And what happened when he got hurt? That was it was unbelievable. The stadium went silent. It was almost like God had died. And you're looking around and you go, holy mackerel! Now somehow they win the game. And so there's a little hope that maybe something's going to happen. But, of course, we know what was happening to the quarterback. But their defense is so good. And you wouldn't have recognized it when they played the Cowboys or when they got beat by the Bills by a lot. But what happens is, you need an offense to keep you off the field for a little while. And their defense used to get tired. As much as they could rotate, they would get tired. But I look back at that season last year. They were 7-10. There are four games that they lost by a single score. You're telling me that if they had Aaron Rodgers in there, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to win those games? Yes, they would. So now they're 11-6. They're going to the playoffs. And by the way, one of those games which they lost, but they only scored 6 points against the Cowboys. They only scored, got shut out against this team because their offense was terrible. And as you know, when the quarterback throws an interception in the other team's territory, all right, what's going to happen? Not bad. When you throw it in your territory, that's a short field for everybody. So my look at that was, Jets go to the playoffs if Aaron Rodgers makes the season. This year, what's happened? They have really, really taken care of a lot of depth on this football team, whether it's a defensive line, it's a linebacker, it's corners. You look at up and down the line, or up and down their roster, their offensive line is all new. Last year was makeshift. I mean, 13, 14 different combinations.
Well, a lot of injuries, too. I mean, you know, it would be nice that everybody can stay healthy. And I think that Joe Douglas has tried to do everything he possibly can to give Aaron Rodgers the best offensive line he possibly could buy and draft.
Without a question.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to get rid of the ball. He's got to get, you know, don't take the hits and don't stand there holding the ball and then get hurt like he did last year. What about, like, the defense creating more turnovers? You're always blaming the offense. Get a goddamn turnover.
You know how you get a turnover? Score some points. And I'll tell you what, be in a position going into the second half where you're up 14 points. That makes the other offense change every game plan they had. They got to catch up. What do you have to do to catch up? Throw the ball. I mean, 70% of scoring is within the red zone. So if you're trying to do everything else on the field, and your defense now can typecast you and say, hey, listen, they're second and four, they're throwing the ball. They may not have done it before, but they're going to do it this time. You're going to get them in a position where your defense can take advantage of it, where you can sit back, and now it's not guessing, but you can anticipate. This is where they have to go with the ball.
I'd like to see this defense, though, create more turnovers. They're good enough to be able to do that.
I absolutely agree with you, but I'm telling you, and I go back there, and you and I, you were just starting out in 85 with the Bears defense, okay? And you looked at the Bears defense, and how good was the Bears defense? They were spectacular, except in one game. The game that another team scored points on them, Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins beat them that year. And that's what you look at on from a defensive perspective. You look at that and go, listen, we're pretty good, but we can't win games because we don't score points. So if you put us in a position where we're always on the field and Miami's got the ball all the time, how are we going to do it and not score? So the offense has to help this defense make turnovers. That's the way you do it. Get ahead in the game.
Sitting here with Greg Buddle at Jets camp this morning, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What's your take on the Hassan Reddick situation and the trade he requested yesterday?
I said it in the pregame show last week. It's everyone is all concerned. Football today is so different than it was when we played. And it's not about anything else but free agency and making your money as fast as you can. Look, from a player's perspective, I look at that and I go, hey, listen, now's the time for this guy to make his money. So he's going to do whatever he has to do to make as much money as he can. The Jets, on the other hand, their goal is to, look, I'd like to have him sign. We want him. Do they need him? That's the question that Reddick has to understand and go, what's the difference between want and need? And the Jets' defense could be very good without him. So how many plays in a season is Reddick going to be a game changer? Well, let's say he has 12 sacks. But you think 12 sacks means it's a game changer? It may be one or two games. When you look at the whole big picture, it may make a really big play, a fumble. They win the game because of it. But you can't depend on that one pass rusher to be that guy unless you are 56 and a goat.
Yes.
All right. So that's my point. He's not a goat. He's a really good player, and he would help the defense. But do they really need him? I say they don't need him. They want him. Now, how bad does he want to be a Jet for the future? Because if he plays well anyway, he's either going to get traded or they're going to redo his contract anyway. So he's a winner no matter what. The question is how much money does he
want? Well, does he want to play on a one-year deal? That's what he has right now, 1 year at about $14 million, and he's number 23 in the edge rusher rankings when it comes to salaries, and he feels like he's more productive because he's a three-down player. He's not a Bryce Huff player who just plays basically on second or third passing downs.
That is correct, but that's, think about this. That's not the way the Jets run their defense anyway. They're in and out defensive line. They're getting guys down there. I don't know any defensive lineman that's played more than let's say 25 plays a game.
Yeah, which is amazing because I remember, you know, in the 90s when the Cowboys were great on defense, they had 8 defensive linemen. So when you played them in the fourth quarter, those guys have played a quarter of the game, where your offensive line has played the entire game.
That's correct. And you know, offensively, it's a negative position, offensive lineman. That's why the offense doesn't get tired and the defense does. The offensive linemen are all in a negative catch position. The defensive linemen are in a positive position, which creates more energy to move. So that's why defenses get tired.
The other thing, too, is that we on offense have to think more. You guys don't have to think. You just have to react.
I thought about slugging you right now.
That's how much thinking he's doing.
But Gio would step in front of you because he's so loyal.
He is a loyal guy. Any rookies catch your eye?
I will tell you something. I'm not necessarily sure that Martinez is a rookie, but as a backup quarterback at fourth team right now, and he came out of the UFL, I got to tell you something. I thought he played pretty well. I don't know. Everyone wants to be on Will McDonough and
McDonald, yeah.
McDonald about he should be better. Well, let me tell you something. They change overnight, and it's defensive linemen or pass rushers because they finally get it. They finally see the experience of what they have to do. But I don't think, other than Braylon Allen, the running back, he was good. Corley was. I thought he was. He played well. Now again, you're talking about how do I evaluate somebody playing against second team guys? And not that a second team guy is terrible, but on the overall issues, a second team guy may play well for 5 or 6 plays and play poorly for 3. So you don't know really the talent level yet until you do it again. And certainly, I don't believe anybody can prove their talent level in practice, especially today. Today, they don't hit anybody. They slap. They don't do the stuff that we used to do in practice. They don't practice once a week in pads. We were doing it twice a day for a month and a half. So it's a really different game. So I think that the Jets are pretty good set from what I saw. It's good. Now, to be great, that's another issue.
It is.
Now, this Nathaniel Hackett story is very interesting. He gets here, obviously, because of Aaron Rodgers, we think. Just because of that, not a great year offensively after Aaron Rodgers goes down. You hear these chatters in the offseason. They want to bring in somebody else maybe to be above him. Then Rob Saleh is going to get involved more in the offense. Then you hear a Diana Russini report about how there's not a lot of faith in Nathaniel Hackett. Is Nathaniel Hackett a problem for this coaching staff, or is he a solution to unlock Aaron Rodgers the way he played a couple years ago in Green Bay?
Well, let's just go on. Let's just go on the fact of what you said is all true, which I don't know. I really don't know. All I can tell you is that if you have an ability for a coach to get into the head of a player and make him better, I want that guy. Because there's a lot of coaches who can't get in the head of a player and can't make them better. So if that's Nathaniel Hackett's role, well, I embrace that role. If it's not his role and you have problems, then I say that's the wrong move. But right now, we all don't know anything other than past history when Nathaniel Hackett was at Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Because last year it meant nothing. I mean, right. He couldn't get in the head of Zach Wilson, that was for sure. So all I'm saying is, again, that's something you're going to have to look at it, and if you're a Jet fan, you have to embrace it. You can't sit around here and get emotional about how did they do this? Why'd they do that? You got to look at it and see how they do it.
He's in the head of Aaron Rodgers. Obviously they have a connection, and we never got to see it.
That's
we
correct.
Only saw it in practice. We only saw it on Hard Knocks a little bit. We saw the interaction, and all that stuff seemed positive. But now we have to see it for real. You have to see it on the field, and we have to see Aaron Rodgers, be able to. I don't think he has to be the MVP that he was when he was younger. I just think he needs to be that unquestioned leader of the team and handle all the adversity that comes along with it. And I think he has the personality to do that, of course.
Yeah, I agree. When you bark and people listen, they only listen because the bark is correct. If you're barking incorrectly, you're not going to have anyone listening.
Yeah, well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson seem to be barking at each other earlier in camp. And
isn't it awesome?
I love to see that.
That's right, and that's the difference, is that you have to understand, from a fan's perspective, they don't know. They have no idea what an NFL locker room is, where it's been, what these guys say to each other. Boomer and I talk to each other a little differently off the air, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right, Mr. Esiason?
Yes, Mr. Buttle. But by the way, you know, think about, like you talked about, we had those two-a-days. Even in high school and college, we had those two-a-days. Those long, drawn-out days, and there were fights in every practice.
Every single practice,
people were fighting with each other.
Not a quarterback, but no. Everybody else was fighting.
His name is Daniel Jones. Now he's getting in fights, but which is good for Daniel, because he needs that. But I you know, it's just a different thing, and now everybody's got their phones out. Everybody is looking at things differently. Everybody has an opinion about something. And if two guys have a difference of an opinion on a route or something like that, they'll get to the answer that they want.
I agree.
It's how they get to that answer that will determine whether or not they'll all be successful.
Greg, it's great seeing you,
I'm
man.
I'm done with you, too.
This guy is a world-class trash talker. I'm serious. I hate to give him credit, but he's so sharp. He's so good. Like, I get intimidated because I'm usually the best trash talker. I can't do it with you.
You would not survive our wolf game.
I know, man. I'm trying to get there.
Oh, Boomer, they're constant. They're cursing me out, Boomer.
I'll get there.
Give me another year. By the way, I took 3 out of 4 points from Wally out in Sand Valley.
That's so awesome.
Wally Cash.
Oh, that's the best. There's nothing better than NBA Cash.
It is. All right, have a great season.
Man.
Right.
See you.
All right, I'll text
you. Greg Buttle, former Jets linebacker, of course, the Jets radio network on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the traveling Built Ford Tough studio. Jerry Recco update, moment of the day, coming up next.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, live from Jets camp. 3 years ago today was the boat party. How about that?
Really?
Wow.
How about that?
Did that just come up on your...
No, Eddie Scazzeri texted me, and also Stu Finer texted me at like 3:45 in the morning with pictures of all of us together from that day. It's three years ago. So that was awesome.
That was one of the great things that we've done.
Yeah, one-of-a-kind situation. I get, especially on Long Island, everybody asks, when are you doing that again? When are you doing that again? I said, I don't know if it'll ever happen again. If it does, you'll know. Trust me.
Now, for some reason, the insurance premiums went through the roof.
I mean, my God.
Can't people just, like, be adults and, like, why? We had a great party. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody was positive. It was coming out of COVID. It was very patriotic.
It was.
It felt great.
It did feel great.
And I felt like it was a pretty good moneymaker for the company.
I don't know, but I just know we had a good time. We also didn't really want to do it again
next year because we launched
so
Jordan
much.
Davis's career.
We did, yeah.
That was a big day.
If it wasn't for us, where would he be?
You think he'd come back for the next boat party?
No.
Yes, he would.
No, he
yes,
would
he would.
See, I'm with Boomer. I think he might.
No, you got to get him on the down. You get him on the upside and the downside.
Exactly.
Not now.
We need him to flop.
I remember one of the first events that I did with our foundation was a Hootie and the Blowfish concert. I think I've told you guys this, and they had, I mean, it was, we had them perfectly set up, and all of a sudden their first album goes platinum and they become huge. And I remember I was sitting in Arizona and I get a call, Hootie and the Blowfish are trying to back out of the event at the Manhattan Center, and I'm like, hell no. And their management agency came to their senses and they did the right thing and they showed up, and it was a huge success. So kind of like Jordan Davis was for us.
Yeah.
Hootie and the Blowfish were for us way back when. I want to say it was probably about 96, I think.
When Jordan comes to Long Island in September, he's got an opener that has got a popular song out. I'm just going to try to attach myself to him now. Ride him on the way up. Jordan is just over now. It's just, you know, it's over. As we've talked about many times.
He's doing quite well.
Yeah, no, we're supposed to play golf with him. I'm joking. I do talk to him occasionally, but
you played guitar in his green room.
I did. Yes, I did. I did, and he sang a little bit too. We did a little duet. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there, man?
What is going on? We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Just run through the Yankees real quick, and a couple more from the football as well. Last night in Chicago, not probably what you thought you would get from the Yankees and the White Sox.
Santos is 2-2. Line, base hit, continues to hit the Yank. Sheets down the left field line. Vaughn around third, easily scores. Sheets in his second with his third double tonight. And the White Sox have a 6-2 lead.
And that was Emmanuel Babari with Susan there as well on the fan. 6-2, and they were only halfway home. 12-2 would be the final as the White Sox win for the 29th time on the season, which would be really good if we were in May. But it's mid-August, and they've got 29 wins, and last night came at the hands of the Yankees.
You know what their home record is?
Well, let's say they got 29 wins. I'm going to say that they are 16-50.
18-42.
Oh, it's close.
18-42.
Okay. So that means they're 11-51.
Buttle forgot his glasses. Yep. See, yeah. I told you. Joe Biden. It's like crazy. It's crazy. Exactly. Just a little fatter. You know, nothing. I said, no, it was all Boomer. He said it was all him. He can't hear either, I guess.
Oh, man. Big play in this game when the game was still a game was the fourth inning when you had Alex Verdugo try and bunt with first and second and nobody out. Popped it up. He was out. Here was Verdugo.
He made a pitch up and in that I kind of didn't really want to bunt, but was already kind of out there and just got a little lazy with it and, you know, popped it up. So that's like the first bunt I've ever popped up. So it happens.
How do you do?
I appreciate.
Translation, I don't give an F.
I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah.
The last thing Yankee fans, or any fan for that matter, when they're listening to their players talk about their performance after a game, the last word that they want to hear is what? Lazy.
Lazy. Especially after losing to that team.
Especially with what the Yankees have been through this year. I mean, look, yeah, they're still one of the best teams in the league, but Jesus.
He's lazy.
Oof. Yeah. It's strange, though.
The Nestor right. Cortez has got to show up tonight.
Yeah, he does. It's exactly right. Eddie, skip the next two. Give me Jazz Chisholm and the elbow injury that knocked him out of the game late.
I'm not super concerned about it. We went through all the tests, and all the tests that we've done in here have been pretty positive. So, I mean, I still feel a little bit, still kind of sore, but I think that we're going to be good.
Just real quick. So the Yankees left 16 men on base. They were 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. And for Chicago, second win in 26 games. You mentioned Nestor Cortez. He's not been good. He has not been good. This sounds ridiculous, but this is actually an important start for him tonight. As the Yankees, well, they lose a bad game, and they'll play again this evening in Chicago. Now, 70-50 on the season are the Yanks.
Didn't BT cut Nestor Cortez?
Didn't he cut him?
BT goes up and down, up and down,
he
up and down.
He wants him in the bullpen to do mop-up duty.
Mop-up.
Oh. Has he earned the right to do mop-up duty?
I heard Sal say that the Mets have earned the right to lose three games in a weekend. I don't think he realized he did it. Cortez has not been good. So, and you got Clark Schmidt coming back at some point.
Walking around work like
a loser!
That was the day after Rogers' injury, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Almost a year away from that. Jeez.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
Jazz? What? Jeez.
He did it too?
Jazz? What? Jeez.
And he goes, jizz. He's like, jazz.
Jizz?
Unbelievable. Add him to the list.
Yeah.
You didn't hear Craig Carton, did you?
He said jizz?
Yeah, when he was doing the game.
Oh, my God.
Eddie, you got to have that, right?
He did it on purpose?
I don't think he did that.
No, he did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
He did. We played it yesterday.
What we did yesterday was in the same clip that Juan Soto didn't make a catch, he then said it was Luis Soho.
Yes. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
That was it. No, that was Takiya.
He said Takiya.
Craig did Takiya, yes, at
what
the end.
What is with these guys? Wow.
Wait, are you sure he didn't say jizz?
No.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
He did on Saturday.
Yes.
He said it very quickly, but I don't think anybody clipped it. I heard it live when it happened. Probably around 1:30 in the second inning on Saturday. He did.
Yes.
But the things we played yesterday were Luis Soho instead of Juan Soto.
Amazing.
And him screwing up tequila and calling it tequila.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to hire a linguist to write a book about this. How Jazz became Jizz. Yeah. The story of Chisholm.
How did you think Craig did?
I enjoyed the awkwardness a little bit of the Susan stuff early on.
Yes.
When I tuned it in, they were talking to Caitlin Clark for legitimately 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, she was great, though. I think she thought she was on TV. I don't think she thought she was on radio.
That would make sense.
Yeah, because she was just talking and talking over the play, and Craig was ground ball to short. He was trying to get through the inning. But Caitlin was great.
Yeah, I was there to listen to the Yankee game. It's weird. I'm hearing an interview with Caitlin Clark.
It is funny, though. You had 10 hours worth of baseball to listen to,
yeah.
And the 20 minutes you picked is when she's in the booth.
Yes.
But he was just like he was when we did the Cyclones.
Yes.
And then Jerry reminded me yesterday, and I totally had forgotten about this, that Craig and I were exhausted by the seventh inning of the Cyclones, and we made Jerry
and Adam the Bull
do the
and he had to do the doubleheader.
End of the seventh, Craig goes,
"We're done.
You guys, we're done. You guys got this." Like, got what? Like, okay.
You got the game.
We'll do the eighth and the ninth. Right. No problem. And that's what we did. What else? We got the Mets taking on the A's tonight. Paul Blackburn to start there. New York trails Atlanta by a game for the third wild card spot in the National League. Braves beat the Giants 1-0 in 10. Eddie, I'm going to skip one clip just one more time. Give me the Hassan Reddick from April. We know that he has requested a trade from the Jets. The Jets say they're not trading him. We go back a few months when he was brought in.
Whatever happens, I'm going to be happy for it. I'm going to give my all no matter what. That's just who I am as a person. So no matter how it goes, how many years, I'm going to be here for however long I'm here for, and I'm going to give the team, the fans, everything that I have.
And that's a clip that doesn't age well, obviously, with what's going on. So we shall see where that goes. We'll skip Ryan Dable, Eddie. Don't need that. This one, I don't know the context of this. This is an interesting one. This is Tyreek Hill. I imagine this was on with Kay Adams, because those were the clips were from last hour, talking about, I guess, the thing going back and forth still about Mahomes, Hill, who's more important, I suppose. Here's Tyreek Hill talking about Mahomes.
He's great, obviously, for his team. You feel me? Like, they won two back-to-back Super Bowls, yada, yada. They did their thing, right? Now, you look at me. Two back-to-back, 1,700, Pro Bowl, all pro, this, that, all decade, this, consistency, all that, man.
I love this guy. Two championships, yada, yada.
Yeah, right.
How many guys have won two championships?
How about Super Bowl MVPs?
Well, he didn't mention those.
Okay.
1,700. That was kind of funny, too.
We should do moment of the day because we're up against
it. Are we
going
to go?
Yeah.
All right. Moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Go back to the first hour when you replayed the caller to Richard Neer, who was trying to have some fun with the Jazz Chisholm stuff.
You talk about the enthusiasm. There's a guy who has a lot of enthusiasm, but he won't get the job. He used to do some minor league games back in the days, a little long in the tooth, but his name is Nick Manning, and he would be like, oh, that's God. He had a very enthusiastic thing, and I know if he did the games, he'd be like, oh, drop in jizz. Something like that.
It's going to be interesting because the Yankees, if Sterling had told them in the offseason last year that, that's it.
And Nick Manning. Just a normal conversation where this guy's dropping all this stuff.
And Nick Manning became famous because of the Howard Stern show. He's a male porn star.
So oh, I didn't know that.
That's where that comes
from. I did not know that either.
Yeah,
oh, that's funny.
But, you know, Richard, you know, it's interesting. He's sitting on the edge of his bed in North Carolina. This guy's making jizz joke after jizz joke.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
People want to hear him spanking lesbians.
That's Saturday morning, man.
Yeah, I know.
What is going on? There you go, guys. Moment of the day.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network live from Jets Camp. 3 years ago today
was the boat party.
How about that?
Really?
Wow.
How about that?
Did that just come up on your...
No, Eddie Scazzeri texted me, and okay. Also Stu Finer texted me at like 3:45 in the morning with pictures of all of us together from that day. Three years ago.
Awesome. That was one of the great things that we've done.
Yeah, one of a kind situation. I get, especially on Long Island, everybody asks, when are you doing that again? When are you doing that again? I said, I don't know if it'll ever happen again. If it does, you'll know. Trust me.
For some reason, the insurance premiums went through the roof.
I mean, my God.
Can't people just, like, be adults and, like, why? We had a great party. It was awesome. Yeah. Everybody was positive. It was coming out of COVID. It was very patriotic.
And it was.
It felt great.
It did feel great.
And I felt like it was a pretty good moneymaker for the company.
I don't know, but I just know we had a good time. We also didn't really want to do it again
we launched
so
Jordan
much.
Davis's career.
We did, yeah.
That was a big day.
If it wasn't for us, where would he be?
You think he'd come back for the next boat party?
No.
Yes, he would.
No, he
yes,
would
he would.
See,
yeah,
I'm with Boomer. I think he might.
No, you got to get him on the down. You get him on the upside and the downside.
Exactly.
Not now.
We need him to flop.
I remember one of the first events that I did with our foundation was a Hootie and the Blowfish concert. I think I've told you guys this, and they had, I mean, it was, we had them perfectly set up, and all of a sudden their first album goes platinum and they become huge. And I remember I was sitting in Arizona and I get a call, Hootie and the Blowfish are trying to back out of the event at the Manhattan Center. And I'm like, hell no. And their management agency came to their senses and they did the right thing and they showed up, and it was a huge success. So kind of like Jordan Davis was for us.
Yeah.
Hootie and the Blowfish were for us way back when. I want to say it was probably about 96, I think.
When Jordan comes to Long Island in September, he's got an opener that has got a popular song out. I'm just going to try to attach myself to him now. Ride him on the way up. Jordan is just over now. It's just, you know, it's over. As we've talked about many times. Just
he's
too
doing
big.
Quite well.
Yeah, no, we're supposed to play golf with him. I'm joking. I do talk to him occasionally, but...
You played guitar in his green room.
I did. Yes, I did. I did. And he sang a little bit, too. We did a little duet. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there, man?
What is going on? We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Just run through the Yankees real quick and a couple more from the football as well. Last night in Chicago, not probably what you thought you would get from the Yankees and the White Sox.
Santos is 2-2. Line, base hit, continues to hit the Yank. Sheets down the left field line. Vaughn around third, easily scores. Sheets in his second with his third double tonight. And the White Sox have a 6-2 lead.
And that was Emmanuel Babari with Susan there as well on the Fan. 6-2, and they were only halfway home. 12-2 would be the final as the White Sox win for the 29th time on the season, which would be really good if we were in May. But it's mid-August, and they've got 29 wins, and last night came at the hands of the Yankees.
You know what their home record is?
Well, let's say they got 29 wins. I'm going to say that they are 16-50.
18-42.
Oh, it's close.
18-42. 18-42.
Okay. So that means they're 11-51.
Buttle forgot his glasses. Yep. Yeah, I told you. Joe Biden. It's like crazy.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Just a little fatter. Just...
<You know. laughs> Now that I said, no, it was all Boomer. He said it was all him. He can't hear either, I guess.
Oh, man. Big play in this game when the game was still a game was the fourth inning when you had Alex Verdugo try and bunt with first and second and nobody out. Popped it up. He was out. Here was Verdugo.
He made a pitch up and in that I kind of didn't really want to bunt, but was already kind of out there and just got a little lazy with it and, you know, popped it up. So but that's like the first bunt I've ever popped up. So it happens.
I appreciate. I don't give an F. I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah.
The last thing Yankee fans, or any fan for that matter, when they're listening to their players talk about their performance after a game, the last word that they want to hear is what? Lazy.
Lazy. Especially after losing to that team.
Especially with what the Yankees have been through this year. I mean, look, they're still one of the best teams in the league, but Jesus.
He's lazy.
Oof. Yeah. Been strange though.
The Nestor right. Cortez has got to show up tonight.
Yeah, he does. It's exactly right. Eddie, skip the next two. Give me Jazz Chisholm and the elbow injury that knocked him out of the game late.
I'm not super concerned about it. We went through all the tests, and all the tests that we've done in here have been pretty positive. So, I mean, I still feel it a little bit, still kind of sore, but I think that we're going to be good.
Just real quick. So the Yankees left 16 men on base. They were 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. And for Chicago, second win in 26 games. You mentioned Nestor Cortez. He's not been good. He has not been good. This sounds ridiculous, but this is actually an important start for him tonight. As the Yankees, well, they lose a bad game, and they'll play again this evening in Chicago. Now, 70-50 on the season are the Yanks.
Didn't BT cut Nestor Cortez? The new one
what do you cut him? I know.
BT goes up and down, up and down,
he
up and down.
He wants him in the bullpen to do mop-up duty.
Mop-up.
Has he earned the right to do mop-up duty?
I heard Sal say that the Mets have earned the right to lose three games in a weekend. I don't think he realized he did it. Cortez has not been good. So, and you got Clark Schmidt coming back at some point.
Stop walking around work like a loser!
That was the day after Rogers' injury, right?
Yeah. Almost a year away from that. Jeez.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
A jizz? Jazz?
What?
Jeez.
He did it too?
A jizz? Jazz?
What?
Jeez.
And he goes, jizz. He's like, jazz.
Jizz?
Unbelievable. Add him to the list.
Yeah.
You didn't hear Craig Carton, did you?
He said jizz?
Yeah, when he was doing the game.
Oh, my God.
Eddie, you got to have that, right?
He did it on purpose?
I don't think he did that.
No, he did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
We played it yesterday.
No. What we did yesterday was in the same clip that Juan Soto didn't make a catch, he then said it was Luis Soho.
Yes. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah. Oh, that was it.
That was Kia.
No, that was Takiya.
He said Takiya.
Craig did
too?
Takiya, yes,
what
at the end.
What is with these guys? Wow.
Wait, but are you sure he didn't say jizz?
No.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
He did on Saturday.
Yes.
He said it very quickly, but I don't think anybody clipped it. I heard it live when it happened. Probably around 1:30 in the second inning on Saturday. He did.
Yes.
But the things we played yesterday were Luis Soho instead of Juan Soto.
Amazing.
And him screwing up tequila and calling it Takiya.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to hire a linguist to write a book about this. How jazz became jizz. Yeah. The story of chism.
How did you think Craig did?
I enjoyed the awkwardness a little bit of the Susan stuff early on.
Yes.
When I tuned it in, they were talking to Caitlin Clark for legitimately 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, she was great, though. I think she thought she was on TV. I don't think she thought she was on radio.
That would make sense.
Yeah, because she was just talking and talking over the play, and Craig was ground ball to short, trying to get through the inning. But Caitlin was great.
Yeah, I was there to listen to the Yankee game. It's weird. I was hearing an interview with Caitlin Clark.
It is funny, though. You had 10 hours worth of baseball to listen to, and the 20 minutes you picked is when she's in the booth.
Yes.
But he was just like he was when we did the Cyclones.
Yes.
And then Jerry reminded me yesterday, and I totally had forgotten about this, that Craig and I were exhausted by the seventh inning of the Cyclones, and we made Jerry
and Adam the Bull
do the
and he had to do doubleheader.
End of the seventh, Craig goes, "We're done. You guys, we're done. You guys got this." Like, got what? Like, okay.
You got the game.
We'll do the eighth and the ninth. Right. No problem. And that's what we did. What else? We got the Mets taking on the A's tonight. Paul Blackburn, the star there. New York trails Atlanta by a game for the third wild card spot in the National League. Braves beat the Giants 1-0 in 10. Eddie, I'm going to skip one clip. Just one more time. Give me the Hassan Reddick from April. We know that he has requested a trade from the Jets. The Jets say they're not trading him. We go back a few months when he was brought in.
Whatever happens, I'm going to be happy for it. I'm going to give my all no matter what. That's just who I am as a person. So no matter how it goes, how many years, I'm going to be here for however long I'm here for, and I'm going to give the team, the fans, everything that I have.
And that's a clip that doesn't age well, obviously, with what's going on. So we shall see where that goes. We'll skip Ryan Dable, Eddie. Don't need that. This one, I don't know the context of this. This is an interesting one. This is Tyreek Hill. I imagine this was on with Kay Adams, because those were the clips were from last hour, talking about, I guess, the thing going back and forth still about Mahomes, Hill, who's more important, I suppose. Here's Tyreek Hill talking about Mahomes.
He's great, obviously, for his team. You feel me? Like, they won 2 back-to-back Super Bowls, yada, yada. They did their thing, right? Now, you look at me. 2 back-to-back, 1,700, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, this, that, All-Decade, this, consistency. All that, man.
I love this guy. Two championships, yada, yada.
Yeah, right.
How many guys have won 2 championships?
How about Super Bowl MVPs?
Well, he didn't mention those.
Okay.
Just 1,700. That was kind of funny, too.
We should do moment of the day because we're up against
it. Are we going to go? Yeah. All right. Moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Go back to the first hour when you replayed the caller to Richard Neer, who was trying to have some fun with the Jazz Chisholm stuff.
You talk about the enthusiasm. There's a guy who has a lot of enthusiasm, but he won't get the job. He used to do some minor league games back in the days, a little long in the tooth, but his name is Nick Manning, and he would be like, oh, that's God. He had a very enthusiastic thing, and I know if he did the games, he'd be like, oh, drop in jizz. Something like that.
It's going to be interesting because the Yankees, if Sterling had told them in the offseason last year that, that's it.
And Nick Manning. Just a normal conversation where this guy's dropping all this stuff.
And Nick Manning became famous because of the Howard Stern show. He's a male porn star.
So oh, I didn't know that.
That's where that
comes
from.
Oh, see, I did not know that either. Yeah, oh, that's funny.
But, you know, Richard, you know, it's interesting. He's sitting on the edge of his bed in North Carolina. This guy's making jizz joke after jizz joke.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
People want to hear him spanking lesbians.
That's Saturday morning, man.
Yeah, I know.
What is going on? There you go, guys. Moment of the day.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court
is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.